The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
AOC says she would clobber J.D. Vance. Give me a freaking break. But maybe, because maybe the country's going in that direction. We'll have to figure that out as well. And yes, it's true. But we will be in KMA tomorrow. It's not a rumor. We'll be there live, 3 to 7 p.m. for our Christmas Spectacular, our year-end show. And we've got some great guests who are going to be joining us. And Matt was just telling me some of the guests that might be coming on the show tomorrow. So I'm very, very excited about that in a big deal. And is Coates in person tomorrow, Matt?
She is not, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right. That's too bad. Because I was hoping that maybe I could do a hit on Laura Ingraham's show and get the van to come to the Grand Hotel. But, you know, that would be epic.
Last time she swiped the van, though, so maybe that's for the best that she's remote.
That's true. She did steal it, yeah. All right, that's true. All right, so what do we got? We got, first of all, let me play AOC. I teased this for you and then got distracted by talking about whether or not she's attractive or not, which is, of course, just very, very smart radio. She was asked a question on the recent polling showing her beating J.D. Vance, and says she would stomp him. Cut 24.
Your reaction, or do you think that you could beat J.D. Vance in a head-to-head race for president, as polling suggests, in 2028?
Listen, these polls, like 3 years out, are, you know, they are what they are. But let the record show, I would stomp him.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
That would be great. There you go. She can stomp him. I don't believe the country is ready for AOC. I hope I'm wrong on this. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. I'm nervous about the direction that, well, I mean, clearly we know the Democrat Party is going in the crazy direction. I think she can get the primary. I think she can win the primary potentially, but, I would hope that he can beat her, but it's all going to depend on the economy. Look, everything that we're talking about is all going to depend on where the economy is by this time next year. So let's talk about gender affirming care as it's known. It's not gender affirming care. It is, as we're talking about drugs and surgeries and everything else, the medical industry has preyed on our children. They have bastardized our kids. They have mutilated our kids. They have given them drugs to block puberty they're not approved for this. This has been happening. Now the administration is doing something about it. Good. The Secretary of HHS, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., talking about this. We're going to start with cut number 10. They're going to go after hospitals. He had a press conference with Dr. Mehmet Oz as well. New rules for restricting gender-affirming care for minors. Excellent. Like I've said, I think there's going to come a time in our life when we look back on this era that we did this to our children and think that we were as barbaric as some of the experiments that Mengele did. I'm not exaggerating on that. You know, in college, I read this book, The Nazi Doctors, about all these doctors and the horrific experiments that they did in the name of science. I think this is right up there with that. And, you know, I don't use Nazi comparisons very often. But when you're whether it is trying to figure out ways to eliminate so-called flaws and characteristics of human beings, or you are trying to change people's gender, which is something that you cannot do. You scientifically cannot do it. And we have to have the courage to say that. And I've said it for years. I've almost said it to the detriment of my job at one point, but I don't care. And I will always say it because I only speak the truth. Believe me, there's a lot of other things I could do in my life if I ever couldn't say what I ever believed. But I've said for years, this is a mental illness. It's mental illness. It is what it is, particularly with children. You're an adult. If you want to chop, you do you. I don't care what you do as an adult. Just don't make me pay for it. I don't care. You live your life. Have fun. Knock yourself out. Chop things off. Add things on. Whatever you want to do. I don't care. But do not expect me to pay for it. And if you're a prisoner, especially don't expect me to pay for it. The fact that Kamala Harris at one point was going to pay for prisoners to get transgender reassignment surgery was the craziest freaking thing ever. I still remember when Charlamagne the God was talking about that ad that was playing during football games. It was her own words saying it. And he said that that was a great ad, and he was right on that point. But good that the administration is going after this finally. Cut number 10.
Doctors assume a solemn obligation to protect children. Yet doctors across the country now provide needless and irreversible sex-rejecting procedures that violate their sacred Hippocratic oath by endangering the very lives that they are sworn to safeguard. The American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, peddled the lie that chemical and surgical sex-rejecting procedures could be good for children who suffer from gender dysphoria. They betrayed the estimated 300,000 American youth ages 13 to 17, conditioned to believe that sex can be changed. They betrayed their Hippocratic oath to do no harm. So-called gender-affirming care has inflicted lasting physical and psychological damage on vulnerable young people. This is not medicine. It is malpractice. We're done with junk science driven by ideological pursuits, not the well-being of children.
No, it's not the well-being of children. Not in the least. Not in the least. It's barbaric. It is beyond cruel. It really is. It's beyond cruel what we've done here. And we need to hold these doctors and these hospitals accountable on that. So there's six decisive actions that are going to be guided by science and what they're going to do to protect children from chemical and surgical mutilation. Bravo to this all day long. Cut 11.
A peer-reviewed report published by the HHS Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health last month confirms that sex-rejecting procedures impose medical dangers and lasting harm on children who receive these interventions. So today we are taking six decisive actions guided by gold standard science and the week one executive order from President Trump to protect children from chemical and surgical mutilation. This morning, I signed a declaration. Sex-rejecting procedures are neither safe nor effective treatment for children with gender dysphoria. These procedures fail to meet professionally recognized standards of care. Medical professionals or entities providing sex-rejecting procedures to children are out of compliance with these standards of health care. This declaration is a clear directive to providers to follow the science and the overwhelming body of evidence that these procedures hurt, not help, children.
Yes, exactly right. They don't just hurt children. They destroy children. They destroy their lives. They destroy them, and it's permanent harm, permanent. And you got to realize, too, the Biden administration trying to include gender dysphoria within the definition of disability. At one point, this was recognized, gender dysphoria, as a mental illness. It needs to go back to being that, in my opinion. It absolutely does. And if you are an adult and you choose, if you're a man, you want to live your life as a woman, okay. But when it comes to kids, we have to realize now this is a mental health issue. Whether they're doing it for attention, whether they are doing it because they are depressed, whether they're doing it because they're in a bad home, there's drugs involved, something, it's not normal, it's not natural, it's not right. It's not something we ever dealt with before until the left embraced this. The left embraced this lunacy. There's a great line by Bill Maher when he said, you know, when I was a kid, I thought I was a pirate. And thank God my parents didn't let me saw off my leg and take out one of my eyes. And it's a funny joke, and it's a great joke because it's true and it's real. And the fact that we ever entertain this with children is beyond barbaric. And the people that encouraged this and fought for this and advocated for this, and believe me, there are still a lot of them doing it, but there are people with fancy degrees. There are medical doctors. That's why when we keep saying, you know, well, if a doctor says, no, a lot of doctors say, chop off your boobies, it'll make you better. And then the doctor's going to get, you know, bill hundreds of thousands of dollars to an insurance company, and then under the Biden administration, they could get reimbursed for it. Absolutely wrong. 100%. Cut 12.
Furthermore, HHS is also moving to reverse the Biden administration's attempt to include gender dysphoria within the definition of disability. My uncle Ted Kennedy was the primary author of the Americans with Disabilities Act and of the 1978 amendments that strengthened the Rehabilitation Act. The Biden-era amendments that designated gender dysphoria as a disability serve the commercial interest of a predatory, multi-billion-dollar industry that betrayed the original intention of those laws engendered widespread public resentments against those laws among the American people and discredited the statutes in the public mind. These are statutes that were designed to protect the most vulnerable Americans, and the misuse of these statutes for these purposes injures the statutes themselves and injures other people who are entitled to that protection and who Americans want to see protected. Our proposed rule will reassure recipients of HHS funding that policies preventing or limiting sex-rejecting procedures do not violate disability non-discrimination requirements.
And Dr. Marty Makary weighed in as well. And, you know, parents are told if they don't agree to these things that they are putting their children at risk. One of the great lies that was told was it was a line that was crafted that said, I'd rather have a live boy than a dead girl, or something to the effect of saying essentially, like, if you don't go down this road and mutilate your children, they're going to commit suicide. It was another lie that was put out there by the pro-trans mutilation advocates. Barbaric and not true, by the way. Not actually anything that was a scientifically found thing, that there is a link between children who are not given so-called gender-affirming care and suicide. If anything, I would say that if there was suicide involved, it proves the point that there was an underlying mental illness there. Well, you do have those. You do have kids later on in life who become what are known as detransitioners, who are left with the ramifications of this. You know, we've debated when brains fully mature over the years. And I think now they say it's 26 years old is when the brain fully matures. You know, that's when you reach really adulthood. Whatever that age is, I don't know. But what I do know is this. There's reasons why we don't let kids make certain decisions, enter into contracts, buy certain things, do certain things, because their brains are not fully formed. And I always found it ironic that you could have a kid go and get his schvants chopped off, but then if he wanted to get a pack of smokes to celebrate this procedure, he would be denied because his brain was not fully developed enough to know whether or not smoking was bad for him. And I said, what kind of a country do we live in that that's actually a thing? That's actually a thing. But the left is all over the place on this, of when adulthood begins. You know, you'll hear the left is now pushing for kids to be able to vote at 16 years old. 16 years old. Now, they do that because at 16, you're probably more likely to buy into socialism and all the other nonsense and the lunacy that comes with it, because you're not paying for anything. You're not paying property taxes. You're not paying income taxes. Or if you are, it's minute because you're working at a pizzeria or something like that. So it doesn't really affect you. But and this is why they do this with school boards. Newark, New Jersey did this. They let 16-year-olds vote in school board elections. Why? Because those children are more likely to vote for people that'll say, we're going to give you beautiful new school buildings, and they don't care about the impact on property taxes. They're not paying them. So they just hear, oh, great, beautiful new buildings, or we need more teachers, or whatever it is. So yeah, I'll vote for that referendum and have more spending on schools. They know what they're doing, the left. They know this. But at the same time, they'll say, if that kid wants to buy a gun, he shouldn't be able to buy a gun until he's 21. Or if that kid wants to buy beer or alcohol or wine, and they've all moved to raise the age to buy cigarettes at 21 for the reason that, well, because, you know, their brains aren't fully developed. So at 18, they, even though they're an adult, technically under the law, they might buy cigarettes and give them to their friends. So we can't have that happen, but we'll let them mutilate themselves. And if parents say no, then we'll take the kids away from the parents. You've had this story we've heard before. I've covered this story over the years of vicious divorces where custody hinged on whether or not one parent would acknowledge that the kid was actually gender dysphoric or not. I mean, really, really ugly stuff here. Here's Dr. Marty Makary, Cut 13.
One of the most barbaric features of a society is the genital mutilation of its children. It's based on a medical dogma, sadly, that the normal, sometimes stressful, experiences of boys and girls growing up is a pathology that requires medical intervention. Parents are told if they don't agree to these disfiguring and permanently sterilizing procedures, they're putting their child at increased risk of suicide, a baseless claim that has never been supported with good data. Let's be honest, and I'm going to say what you're not supposed to say. Pushing transgender ideology in children is predatory, it's wrong, and it needs to stop.
Bingo. Bravo, bingo, absolutely. Well said, Dr. Marty Makary. Tomorrow we're live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel, and this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel. And tomorrow is going to be a very, very happy show. 4 full hours live in Cape May. The bar will be open. Not an open bar, but you know what I mean. The bar will be open. So please join us for that. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I love Cape May this time of year. It's just absolutely beautiful. They go all out for Christmas. All out for Christmas. It is a town that has such Christmas spirit. If you have not seen it, you'll know exactly what I mean when you get down there. The way people decorate, the lights, the trolley tours, all of it, it's just fantastic. It's great. So please join us for that, all right? I would love that, and I would love to see you there tomorrow. 3 to 7. Again, you don't need a reservation. You don't need a ticket. Just come on in. Just show up and say hello, and you could stay for a little bit. You can stay for all of it. You can do whatever you like. Oh, that's great news, Matt, what you just texted me about Sally's Pizza.
Is it, though? I mean, I love Sally's. It's arguably the best pizza on the planet. However, that's a lot of locations, and that makes me a little bit nervous about quality control.
All right, I need to ask Brooke Singman about this and get her thoughts on this. Because Brooke is from New Haven, and she and I have talked about this before, that Sally's is the best pizza, besides Frank and Pepe's, which is the best pizza.
Yeah, Pepe's is amazing.
I don't know which one's better, but you're right. The problem with this is twofold. Number one, that means that I'm assuming some corporation or something is going to be franchising Sally's now.
I don't think so. I think it's just Sally's themselves. And just to catch up the audience, so Sally's, maybe the most famous pizza in the country. They are expanding.
Besides Frank and Pepe's.
Yeah, they're based out of Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut. They're expanding nationwide now, or I think at least the East Coast. And there's going to be 25 locations in New Jersey alone, and 20 in Pennsylvania.
That's big, but how are they going to? Part of what makes those pizzas so good is the fact that you're dealing with 100-year-old coal-fired pizza ovens. Are they going to have that in the new locations?
Exactly. That's concerning. So I don't know if you've been to Pepe's outside of New Haven. I know there's one in the Boston area, kind of, that maybe in Alston, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, Pepe's maintains pretty high quality. It's not quite as good as the original location. And to your point, it's due to the oven. That thing is, didn't we discover it's the oldest pizza oven in the entire country?
I believe so. Yeah, it was either that or Totano's, and Totano's burned down, so they had to build a new oven. And the oven at Frank and Pepe's is massive. If you've never seen it, it's got to be, I don't know, like 10 by 10 or something like that. I mean, it's a massive oven just loaded with coal. They just keep shoving coal in there. It's probably even bigger than that.
Yeah, there's no way you can recreate that. Although the Pepe's expansion, they did do a very good job, because I've been to a couple of
other
locations.
Yeah, but I don't know if I agree with you on that point, because I remember for Patrick's adoption, we were up in Connecticut. We weren't in New Haven, and there was a Frank and Pepe's in like a strip mall, and we went there after the hospital, because obviously you leave the hospital, you got to go to Frank and Pepe's. And I thought it was fine. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about that specific location, but I know the ones I've been to, it's still been really good pizza. Not quite as good as the original location, but still upper echelon.
If you don't have the coal-fired oven that's 100 years old, with all that they probably have never cleaned, I don't know how you can recreate that.
You lose a little something. That being said, this is exciting, because it's still going to be good pizza.
No, it's still going to be exciting. Are there opportunities to buy one? Like, can I buy a Sally's? Not that I have any money, but...
Maybe you could open it in your backyard. You've got the pizza oven there.
Yeah, mine's better.
No, they didn't announce where the actual, like, locations will be, only the number that they're shooting for.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, they're all over. New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Texas. The number of locations does have me a bit nervous. I there's no way quality control doesn't dip a little bit.
No doubt. That has to happen, right?
Yeah.
That has to happen. So does Brigitte Macron have a penis? No.
I don't think so.
That is the question.
What a transition. I meant from pizza to the topic.
That is the question. Piers Morgan asking Candace Owens this. I noticed that she's not on the list of speakers for the Turning Point USA convention they're having this weekend.
Nope.
So there are some interesting... it's an interesting mix of people because you've got Tucker Carlson speaking and also Gutfeld and Jesse Waters speaking and Megyn Kelly speaking. And then you have some kind of crazy people speaking, too. So it's kind of a little hodgepodge.
I think our dear friend Paula Scanlon will be there as well. I don't know if she's speaking, but I know she'll be there.
She's not on the speakers list as of now. Maybe they'll add her. They should add her because she's fantastic. But that's coming up this weekend, the America Fest 2025. And the speakers include the Vice President, Erica Kirk, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Megyn Kelly, Jesse Waters, Speaker Mike Johnson, Greg Gutfeld, Ben Shapiro, Glenn Beck, Vivek Ramaswamy, Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles, Benny Johnson, Jack Sobiech, Secretary Sean Duffy, Rachel Campos Duffy, Dr. Ben Carson, Tom Homan, U.S. Rep. Byron Donalds, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, A.G. Ken Paxton, U.S. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, U.S. Rep. Andy Biggs, Ali Stuckey, Riley Gaines, Matt Shaw, Danica Patrick, Savannah Chrisley, Roger Stone, Russell Brand, Rob Schneider, Brandon Tatum. Who else? Just trying to see some of the bigger names they have here. James O'Keefe is speaking. You've got, let's see, who else? Michael Whatley, former RNC chairman Michael Whatley speaking. I don't see Paula on the list. Of course, that's all subject to, but interesting that you've got Fox News superstars there when Tucker and Megyn are there, because typically that's not been the case. Maybe they'll have a reunion. Look at that. Never know. So
probably not.
But Candace Owens is not on the list. So I guess the conversation with her and Erica Kirk did not go that well, is my guess.
Doesn't seem like a whole lot was resolved.
So now Candace Owens has a lawsuit. She was sued by the First Lady of France, Brigitte Macron, because she said that Brigitte is a man. And she's got to pay what? What's the amount she's got to pay? It's like $25 million or something,
right? It's a lot.
Right?
I'll get the exact number.
It's a lot of money. So Piers Morgan was asking her about this, and this is the back and forth on this. Cut 17.
And I think we're going to see the same thing with Brigitte Macron and you, is that he was weaponizing deliberate lies for money. And I think you've
Brigitte
did that.
Macron has a penis. I really want
Brigitte
you to know
Macron
that.
Brigitte Macron does not have
important.
A penis.
Brigitte Macron has
no,
a penis.
No, she doesn't.
I'm sorry.
She okay, had three
well, did she
children.
Did she get it removed?
She had three
did get
children.
It removed? Yeah, you can have adoptive children. You can call somebody. But Brigitte Macron was born a dude named Jean-Michel Trogneau.
Well,
and I just feel, I want you to know that. I want you to know that Brigitte Macron probably stands peeing up. Probably
okay.
pee standing
well,
up is what
the
I
beauty
to know.
Is, the beauty is we have a big
yeah,
bet.
I think Brigitte
we have
stands.
A big bet, and we're going to find out because yeah. it's going to court.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
you will lose that court case. I think you know you will.
Yeah. I am not going to lose a court case because Brigitte is presenting evidence that Brigitte was born a woman because that's never even been offered. That's just their PR coming after
okay.
and saying these things. Nobody believes that Brigitte Macron is just unable to present any pictures. Nobody's asking for blood.
All right, no, well, let's wait for the court
happened.
Case. Let's wait for the court
okay,
case.
Okay, great.
Now, look,
and you will be proven wrong again unless
in the fallout,
there's just federal corruption.
Do you think she's going to have to show it in court? Brigitte,
I hope.
Is she going to have to whip it out? Is my question.
I hope for the jury's sake, no.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we present to you Brigitte's junk. Oh, it's out there. I mean, it's... because this is probably can be resolved with show and tell. I mean, just to kind of use like what the kids do. Little show and tell could probably answer this question quite quickly. I don't know if in court, though, the judge is going to say, all right, drop them. You know what I mean? So, like, drop the drawers.
I think they're going to resolve this with medical records, I believe. And
you
also,
don't think there'll be a show and tell?
No, I suspect not. Also, no official number in terms of what Candace Owens could potentially owe the Macrones. But Owens is claiming that the legal battle alone could cost her as much as $5 million.
But here's my question, though. Even if she's ordered to pay, isn't it a French court?
Yes.
Okay, so...
I think so.
As long as she never goes to France, how are they going to make her pay?
I don't know enough about the legal system to answer that.
Well, I know this. It's not our country, so I don't think they can compel... I don't think the United States can compel her to pay another country. I don't think so. Again, I'm not an attorney, but I would if she loses this and winds up owing the first lady $25 million because she was not able to prove that she has a schlong, then my travel advice would be maybe not go to France. Because I would feel like if you did go to France, as soon as you got to the airport, scanned your passport, a couple of people are going to come running over to you and say, you're coming with us. You know what I mean?
It looks like they did file a defamation lawsuit in a Delaware state court as well.
Oh, well.
Yes.
And don't go to Delaware.
Yeah.
Problem solved. So the two places Candace Owens can't ever go, Delaware and France. It's pretty simple right there.
She should be all right, though, because I think Candace Owens' husband is worth like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh.
She won't be hurting for cash.
Well, I was going to say, because if she can't go to Delaware, then she's going to miss out on that no sales tax thing. So.
Yeah.
You know.
I think she'll be all right.
Just saying. Just pointing that out. All right. Well, that's we got that. We'll talk about other things as well as we continue along with the show here today. But I want to tell you about Dr. Mike. There's a story I read today regarding a common dental health issue may hint at more dangerous medical condition. This was on FoxNews.com. I always love these medical stories because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, as you know. But there's growing evidence that gum disease and heart disease may be connected, especially when it comes to plaque building up in arteries and the risk of major cardiovascular events. The American Heart Association published a scientific statement this week sharing how inflamed gums and bacteria from the mouth can enter the bloodstream, triggering inflammation in the blood vessels. And that can lead to things like heart attack, stroke, irregular heart rhythms, heart failure, and peripheral artery disease. Your mouth and your heart are connected. And there's also a clear association between, they say, gum disease and maybe even mental health as well. So there's that. In other words, you got to see a dentist. You really got to see a dentist. It's very important to do so. And the guy that I recommend you see is Dr. Mike Venaria, because he's my buddy. He's my friend. He is the undisputed master of dental implants, and he will give you a beautiful, beautiful smile. And if you do have any gum disease, he'll take care of that for you and wipe it right out. And then you can be okay. And there is an absolute link, no doubt about that. He's also the expert that other experts call when they have to send their patients for advanced complex dental procedures. And that's really important, because if you don't believe that these doctors are nervous about putting their reputation on the line when it comes to referrals, then you're nuts. It's everything for them. Their reputation matters. So they send their patients to Dr. Mike Venaria, knowing he's going to do an incredible job for them, and they're going to be happy. And then it's going to reflect great on the dentist who sent them over. So that's what you'll get with Dr. Mike Venaria. You will have a beautiful, beautiful smile, and you will be happy. And whether it is a complex dental procedure like dental implants, for example, Dr. Mike Venaria is the best. And I'm going to see him in a couple weeks as well for my cleaning and my checkup. Bridget got a beautiful smile upgrade from him last year. And of course, my whole family goes to him as well. So whether it's complex dental procedures like implants, or it is just routine dental care and preventative dental care, make that dental appointment. All right, do it today. Venaria Dental, two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And you'll find great people there. They'll take great care of you, wonderful staff, accommodating in every single way, and ready to give you the beautiful smile of your dreams. That's what you get with Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So, Three Mile Island getting back online. U.S. Energy Secretary Doug Burgum. Welcome back. Glad you're here. Thanks for being here. Big story of the, I should mention this. Cape May tomorrow. That's what I got to say. Cape May live, 3 to 7 p.m. Grand Hotel. Come by. Join us. Last show of the year. My last show of the year. And that would be great if you come out and join us for that. It'll be fantastic. All right. So Microsoft and Constellation Energy, their efforts to restart the nuclear power plant at Three Mile Island to power artificial intelligence is a poster child for the Trump administration's agenda, according to U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright. Not Doug Burgum, Chris Wright. He came there yesterday and he said it's delivering two of our largest promises after touring the 50-year-old power station in Dauphin County. He said, we're going to reduce the cost of electricity as energy-intensive data centers drive up demand and prices. The other is to win the AI race and endeavor with far-reaching economic, scientific, and national security implications. This is from Penn Capital Star. They have now rebranded this as the Crane Clean Energy Center. And, of course, nuclear power is 100% clean. It's slated to begin generating power again in 2027. And since his inauguration in January, President Trump has issued executive orders directing the Energy Department to end support for wind and solar and clear the way for nuclear development. Good. Excellent. Great. Saying we want to keep existing plants open. We want to open plants that were prematurely closed. We are expediting the building of new plants. But environmentalists warn the energy prices will continue to increase as renewable energy projects in the pipeline face delays to connect to the region's electricity grid or are canceled outright. Cancel them outright. Please get rid of them. They don't work. They're stupid. And they waste money. And they cost money because we all have to subsidize them. PJM Interconnection, which manages the wholesale electricity marketing grid in Pennsylvania and 12 other states, announced Wednesday that its most recent capacity auction fell short of securing enough generating capacity to meet its 20% reserve for peak demands in 2027 through 2028. But this is because what we need right now is more energy to come online. And the last administration waged a war on energy that shut down coal-fired plants and shut down nuclear and did everything in their power to make sure that nuclear energy could not get back online. This administration, for better or for worse, whatever, you love them, hate them. There's parts of Trump you love, parts of Trump you can't stand. What you got to love is you got to love things like going after transgender mutilation on kids. And you got to go. You got to love bringing nuclear power online. You got to love it. You got to love it. We'll talk to a guy at 6 o'clock about these AI data centers, because this is obviously a huge, huge topic. But this is great. This is fantastic. And obviously, as PJM says here right now, despite prices maxing out as a cap established at a settlement with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania after an auction last year resulted in record capacity prices, it doesn't mean it will be unable to meet peak demands. The grid will have a 15% reserve and other factors could result in the margin being larger. But this auction leaves no doubt that data centers' demand for electricity continues to far outstrip new supply, and the solution will require concerted action involving PJM, its stakeholders, state and federal partners, and the data center industry itself. Great, good. So get more nuclear power online. I know it could take several years, but they can speed up that process. Get it going. get it going and doing this. And this is a big deal. Now, as we get more supply that to meet the demand, that is going to result in lower prices as well. Three Mile Island was a mothbed in a move that Constellation CEO Joe Dominguez said was a mistake. The plant was the site of a partial nuclear meltdown in 1979, among the nation's worst nuclear energy disasters that permanently disabled one of its two reactors. The remaining unit restarted several years after the accident and remained in operation until Constellation decided it was no longer profitable in 2019. So the Baltimore-headquartered company announced it would restart the Unit 1 reactor in a $1.6 billion deal with Microsoft, which agreed to purchase the plant's entire 835-megawatt output to power its data centers. And the Department of Energy last month announced it had closed a $1 billion loan for Constellation, which Dominguez said would reduce the cost of borrowing for the project. He said the company would reinvest the savings in upgrades for the plant. What we're seeing right now is a renewed interest across the country in nuclear, understanding that the first and most important thing we need to do is bring back to life assets that were mistakenly closed. Microsoft's Vice President of Energy, Bobby Hollis, said Three Mile Island was a unique opportunity for the company as it positioned itself as a leader in artificial intelligence. We're seeing lots within the energy sector and recognize what needs to be happening now, which is to add energy capacity to the grid. Find the opportunities that are not the typical opportunities. Three Mile Island and the other recently closed nuclear plants will bring carbon-free electricity to market faster than technology still under development. This year, Palisades Nuclear Generating Station in Michigan became the first in the nation to be restarted. The owner of the Duane Arnold Nuclear Power Plant in Iowa is also exploring potential deals with tech companies to restart that plant. Asked about the proposed rules for new data centers and large load connections, Energy Secretary Wright said the Department of Energy is working to respond to the dynamics of the new energy economy. Sadly, we've had three decades of very little demand growth for electricity. It's been a world more of stasis, and now we're in a world of rapid growth. And he noted that FERC, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the Nuclear Energy Regulatory Commission, are implementing reforms to speed the addition of new sources. And the use of AI and automation will help regulators and operators optimize resources to best meet demand. But the federal government is also pushing PJM and other operators to prioritize projects that are most likely to come to fruition. The rules proposed by the independent market monitor are unworkable. To build a nuclear power plant or a natural gas fire plant from scratch would take the best part of a decade. So if you want to tell the folks in our data economy that they can't put AI to work until we get new power plants operating and wait 5, 6, 7 years, the AI race is going to be over, he said, and we will lose. And he's right. He's 100% right about that. Absolutely. No doubt about it. So, good. You know, excellent. This makes me very happy. Makes me very, very happy that this is what's happening. And it should have happened a long time ago. Biden's war on energy is over. And I've said this for you. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. I'll say it. The war on energy is the reason why prices went up in the first place, that and inflation, and prices will come down as the war on energy ends and we get the new supply up and running. But it can't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to get these power plants going again. You got to get nuclear power going again. I mean, they mothballed that reactor in 2019, that nuclear reactor at Three Mile Island. That was so stupid. They acknowledge it was a mistake to do that. But now these big AI companies, these big tech companies, and the need for these data centers, and it's happening at rapid fire pace, and I'm really, really happy about that. So good, excellent. That's good news. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile and get a beautiful, beautiful smile that you deserve, because everyone deserves a beautiful smile, and there's simply nobody better than Dr. Mike. Plus, you got to make sure you don't have gum disease, because it can lead to a heart attack or stroke. That is new research out today saying that, and that is a thing you do not want to ignore, okay? Please, you don't want to ignore that. As far as inflation, we are at the lowest inflation in nearly 5 years. Core inflation at its lowest in nearly 5 years. This is why I tell you I think that the economy is on the way to getting better. The message from the White House should not be everything's great, because everything's not great, but the message should be we're on our way. That's what the message should be. That's what I've been saying. That's what they need to be saying. That's the way to do it. But here's CNN talking about this. Cut number three.
Brand new numbers on inflation. You can see the annual rate of inflation down a little bit in November. It was at 3% the last time we got a reading. Now it has ticked down, cooling slightly to 2.7%. Let's get right to CNN's Matt Egan for the latest on these numbers. This is below expectations, Matt.
That's right, John. Finally, some good news on the number one economic issue, the cost of living. So the government just put out this new report saying that consumer prices were up by 2.7% year over year in November. That is much better than the forecast from economists, which was for 3%. And as you mentioned, this is a step in the right direction relative to September, which was at 3%. Now, I can't tell you what it was in October because the government shutdown messed with the collection of data during that month. But clearly, this is another step in the right direction.
In fact, CNN had a Harvard expert, although I don't think anybody from Harvard's ever an expert, because that school is low energy and useless and produces graduates who are useless, obviously. But weird. What? In every way.
Why'd you have to hit me twice? Once was enough.
Oh, Matt, I didn't even know you were there. Sorry, I didn't know I was on the air. Oops. Here's a Harvard expert telling Democrats they can't spin President Trump's latest inflation victory. His Ken Rog... Do you know this guy, Ken Rogoff?
No, I don't know him.
You don't know him?
No.
Did you really go to Harvard? Is this like the fake girlfriend?
There's a lot of professors at Harvard. I don't know all of them.
I think we need to see whether or not Macron has a schwanz and you have a Harvard degree. I think both should have to be on display.
Bring my diploma to Cape May tomorrow.
Good. Excellent. Although you can print those nowadays. But I can get you a Harvard diploma. I can get you a Harvard diploma tonight if you need one. Yeah. In an hour.
Oh, can I get like a medical degree? Can you print that out for me? I don't have one.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. And knowing the way bureaucrats are, you could probably practice medicine in this country and be fine for years. So here's the Harvard expert, cut four.
It was a better number than anyone was expecting. Look, inflation's been
very high. Why is it so low?
High. It's stayed high. It has not been coming down. But, you know, people were expecting it to be above 3%. It was well below 3%. I mean, I think the president will take this as good news. The investors will think that interest rates will get cut more. So, you know, it was a positive news. There's no other way to spin it.
Absolutely.
Positive news, no other way to spin it. That's the bottom line. It's positive news, and that's it. But, you know, the real question I have, when Kamala Harris lost the election, did she drink? I mean, do you have to even ask this question? But Jimmy Kimmel did. He went there. He did ask the question. This is cut number eight. She was on Jimmy Kimmel Live because Kamala Harris is also running for president. What a gift for all of us. That Kamala may be running for president of the United States again, huh? What, I mean, truly, what a gift. Cut eight.
Had you been elected president right now, we'd be watching a $40 million documentary about Doug on Amazon.
it's a different world.
After the election, did you and Doug just start drinking?
We did a... say that we definitely it took us some time.
When was the last time?
She was drinking before, and she was drinking during, and she was drinking after, and she was probably drinking during your show, and then she probably was drinking after your show, and I'm just saying. So the only question was not, were you drinking? It was, what were you drinking? That was really the question. What were you and Doug drinking? And she also went on her book tour. We'll get into this in the next hour, but there's more from this. It's just like she won't go away. I mean, Kamala Harris will not go away. It's amazing. She's going to run. I mean, these people have amazing, massive egos, and they are going nowhere. But you know who is leaving? Dan Bongino. He's announced that he's going to step down from the FBI and go back to his show. He said in a social media post he will leave in January, thanking President Trump for the opportunity to serve with purpose. And he said Bongino wanted to return to his prior job as a popular conservative podcaster. As a commentator, Bongino was a hardline critic of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We obviously know that he clashed a lot with Pam Bondi. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about that when he actually returns to doing his podcast. As a podcaster, Bongino had amplified conspiracy theories about Jeffrey Epstein. This is from the Wall Street Journal as I'm reading this. Now, what I don't know is he going to be doing a radio show again, or is he just going to be doing a podcast, or what? Do we know what he's going to be doing, actually?
I assume it's just the podcast.
Just the podcast.
I would guess. I don't know for certain, though. But.
Yeah. Because he's got now, so Vince Colanese is doing the 12 to 3 Bongino radio show. And I don't know if that's like if Dan wants to go back and do that. I don't even know why he would have to at this point. You know what I mean?
I'm sure he's going to make a ton of money.
Yeah. I mean, he could just do a podcast for an hour or something. And that's the direction everybody's going in right now. So, I mean, like what's Ben Shapiro's podcast? Like an hour?
Yeah, it's an hour a day.
I mean, that's the direction everyone's going in right now. They're going from doing long radio shows to doing an hour podcast, and then they're, you know, making a ton of money. So I can't imagine that he would. Excuse me. I'm not sick, but I still have the stupid cough from when I was sick. And then I was told that coughs can last for like weeks. Ugh. So, yeah,
I'm going to sit on the other end of the table tomorrow just to be safe.
Nah, I'm fine. You're good. I am not sick.
Well, that's fine. Justin can sit next to you.
It's fine. I don't want to sit next to you anyway. So good. That's good.
Everybody wins.
What I don't understand, though, honestly, is Linda Kearns pipes in. Here's what I don't understand. All right. I'm looking at the programming schedule for next week. Tuesday the 23rd. I am in for Jimmy Failla, and from 7 to 10 p.m., Linda Kearns is in instead of them playing. But then she's not in on Friday the 26th when Jimmy Failla is on, and that's going to be a best-of Jimmy Failla show on the 26th. So why doesn't she just do that one and let me just do the show on the 23rd? I don't understand this. It's like she's openly revolting. Same thing on the 30th when she's in, but I'm in for Jimmy, but she's going to be on. But then they have Jimmy down for the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. And I got news for you. Those are all going to be best of shows also. So why doesn't she just do one of those? I don't understand this. Why is she so against me? Why is she now trying to bring down this empire that I have created?
That's not her fault. It's more Greg, I would say, right?
The two of them collaborating against me. That's what it is. They're clearly against me.
Linda, and
I'm not going to let this pass. I could tell you that. It's going to be war. That's what it is. It's going to be all out friggin' war.
That's a nice way to celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people listening anyway on the 30th. So, all right, Bob's Little Sports Shop. Listen, my great friend, it's war. Linda, sorry, you drew first blood. You could have stayed out of it. But I'm just saying. And now I will have to destroy you and everything you stand for and make sure that nobody tunes in that day to Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. I will have to use all my power and all my resources and all my time. Actually, I'm not kidding. I don't have the energy for that. Who am I kidding? I'm going to have a puppy. I'm going to be dealing with a puppy running around. I think it's the last thing I'm going to think of. So you got to pass on this one, Kearns. But I may forgive, but I don't forget. Like Dawn Stensland. I mean, Dawn really, like, she doesn't forget anything. She's like, she'll kill. Like, she will remember, you know, for a long time. All right, I gotta take a break. All right, Bob's Little Sports Shop. My friends at Bob's, great people. So I'm going in there to get another gun. I'm going in there first week in January, and I'm going to try a couple different ones out. And that's what I love about Bob's. You can go in, try some out, figure out what's best for you. They have a whole way of helping you with the paperwork, the licensing, finding the perfect firearm for you. And then, of course, learning how to use it. Now, I know how to use a gun, but not everybody does. So that's okay. And don't be intimidated by that, because they'll figure out, you know, what kind of a gun you want, what's best for you, go through all the different sizes, let you try it. And then once you get it, teach you how to use it. That's the Bob's difference. Now, if you've got people on your list who are your last minute shopper and you haven't bought them anything yet, don't worry, because Bob's is open on Christmas Eve. They are open, and you can go in and get Bob's gift cards. For every $100 you spend, you get $10 back in Bob's bucks that you can use throughout 2026. Plus, Bob's makes a great place for an event. You can plan something for 2026, bring the team together, maybe a bachelor party or maybe a bridal shower. Why not, right? Gun-toting mamas. I love it. And they've got private instructors, and they can have up to 30 people. No alcohol or drugs permitted on premises. But you can have a great time, and no experience needed. You don't have to be an experienced shooter. You don't have to have a firearms ID card. You don't need any of that. You just need to go to Bob's, show up, and have a great time. So reach out to them for all the details by going to bobslittlesportshop.com. 60 years family-owned and operated. That's the Bob's Little Sports Shop difference. Great people who know their stuff and will take great care of you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.